Welcome back, listener. Listener, viewer. What else would they be? Listener, viewer.
Visitor. I don't know.
The what?
Visitor.
Visitor. Like, oh, yes, you might be new.
Internet visitor.
You might be new to us.
Yeah.
So our town has plenty. We are really lucky to this week have our guest as the lovely Tim Hoyt, who we know in our town as a walking minstrel. You're not a walking minstrel, perhaps. He's not a walking minstrel.
It's an idea for the future, though.
It is. This might have to be. Like, it's a bit like walking disco. You could be a walking minstrel. But so singer-songwriter Tim Hoyt, thank you for joining us. So we
Thanks
cheers.
So much
we're
for g- having
we're going to cheers you.
Cheers. Yeah.
Let's cheers you.
Cheers to you. Lovely
Absolutely.
To be here.
It's lovely for you. I'm so glad you came. Thank you for coming. So that's not the end of the interview, by the way.
We've only just started.
That would be a very quick editing job, says Mr. Solanke, thankfully. Tim, you live here. Where are you from?
Well, yeah, that's one of those. Originally I was born in London, in Barnet, North London. Then I lived in East Midlands in a place called Stamford, which is in Lincolnshire, until I was 8. And then I moved with my family to Shropshire, near the border of North Wales, until I was 17, or was it 18? And then I was down here, and I've been here ever since.
You've been here since you were 18?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So that's an interesting age to get here, isn't it? Because you're not making the decision. So did you make the decision to move here at 18?
No, I did, and I didn't. But I was living with my parents and my brother at the time in Shropshire, a place called Oswestry.
Oh.
Just got people down here when they said, they're like, what?
Yeah.
Oswestry.
That's a great
name. It's got an odd sound to it, isn't it?
Yeah.
But nice, a lovely area. So they wanted to move down here, and I can't even remember my thought process, to be honest. It's so long ago. But we'd been on holiday here a couple of times, and it seemed like a great place. It was by the sea, you know. It just seemed like a holiday, living on holiday sort of thing. That was my thought, but it didn't turn out like that quite.
No.
But I do love the place. But
what do you love about it?
Oh, loads of stuff. The sea, obviously. There's loads of lovely walks nearby. The East Hill. Walking along the seafront, all the way along, going to Bexhill along the seafront. Delawall Pavilion. That's not Hastings, but it's nearby. There's so many creative, lovely people here. It's a bit bohemian and a bit, but not too sort of well dressed, if you know what I mean, and polished.
Oh, I love that. Not well dressed.
It's a bit quirky.
Yeah.
Actually, you can wear anything here, I notice.
Yeah, probably.
Can't you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can be glam or, sort of shabby.
Anything goes.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any day.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So it absorbs all style. It just welcomes all of it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Lots of different social groups and subcultures here. But in a way, I've been here so long, I thought I don't really have anywhere else to compare it to, if you know what I mean. Because obviously I go to other places, but I haven't lived anywhere else for such a long time. I almost can't remember what it was like living somewhere else. So I do love lots about Hastings, but it's also I'm just rooted here, do you know what I mean? I just feel at home here.
You're established here.
Yeah, without any reasons kind of thing.
Mm.
But all the things I said, the reasons are true as well.
Yeah.
The people and the nature and the sea and everything.
You must have seen it change quite a bit since the age of 18 then, in terms of who's here and the built environment here has changed in that time, I think.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I sometimes have to think about, think about it, or I think things go over my head quite easily, just because I've been here so long as well, paradoxically.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I remember the seafront years ago looked less sort of well looked after, and, you know, less. It was more sort of creaky and a bit run down. I mean, parts of town are run down and poor and everything still, but...
There was a time when the street lamps along the seafront used to have a kind of cascading light bulb kind of arrangement back in the day.
Oh, that rings
really
a bell.
In the 80s, I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
And now we have these pretty lights that shine down and LEDs that are coloured, and you think, I liked the faded light bulb kind of arrangement, personally. Because it always, by the end of the season, you can bet your life there were quite a few bulbs out.
Right.
And it just showed, here we are, the end of the season. Ah, oh, looks a little bit tired.
Yeah, I don't remember those, actually.
Oh.
Maybe if I saw a photo of them or something.
Yeah, I'll have to find it. I'll try and dig it out.
But I saw something really interesting on YouTube a while back. Well, I found it interesting. Which was a video that a guy had made in about 1989, just walking around different parts of central Hastings. It was just Hastings actually. And I found it fascinating because I remembered parts of the town that aren't there anymore.
Yes.
Some people would find it really boring, you know, nothing much happens in it.
No, the Reedy Fusion shop and the cricket ground.
Exactly, Priory Meadow.
No.
And just, I like seeing old cars and stuff. I used to like those when I was a kid and stuff.
Absolutely.
So it's interesting. So when did you move here?
83.
Okay.
82, 83.
Wow, so you've seen some real changes.
Yeah. And I loved all the different phases. and the fact that we're surrounded by creative people with big hearts.
Yeah.
It's really can-do attitude. That's what I love about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think you're right, like each phase of time has some good things about it, you know.
Definitely.
Pros and cons, I suppose.
Mm. That was 2015, so a lot later.
Yeah. No, but you've still seen change in that time, haven't you?
Yeah.
10
sure.
years.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, you don't think of it being a long time, but a lot can happen in Hastings in 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you're a singer-songwriter. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say I write... I'm not as prolific as some singer-songwriters. So, some of the time I kind of... Yeah. I almost don't feel like that label... quite fits, but I've been doing it a long time, and it's certainly one thing. You know, I've written some instrumental music and stuff, and that's something I'd like to do more of actually, for film and theatre and stuff. But yeah, it probably is the centre of what I do in terms of music.
What else do you do with music then?
I go to care homes and day centres for older people and people with dementia and play old classic songs.
It's just
a bit of an entertainment thing and hopefully a sort of, just sort of increased well-being and, you know, a bit therapeutic, hopefully.
No, it's a lovely service though, isn't it? Because music is very evocative.
Yeah.
And especially when you've got people who, with dementia, they don't know what's necessarily going on now or retain it, but they could probably tell you the words of every song of the era that they loved.
Absolutely, yeah. I see that quite frequently, you know, people not conversing or, you know, they look at very distant, far away, and I'll start singing a song and their lips are moving or they're singing and it's lovely.
Yeah. So lovely.
It's a really lovely thing.
Wow. How often do you do that?
Quite a lot at the moment, probably an average 2 or 3 times a week in different places.
Mm-hmm. All around here locally, or do you go elsewhere?
It's just local really, because I don't drive or anything, so it's and train fares are quite a lot. So it's Hastings, Bexhill, Rye,
nice
places like that.
Yeah. Is there a particular song that gets requested a lot, or is it different things, or do you kind of initiate?
There are certain ones that are very popular, like rock and roll songs, Elvis, the Beatles, those sort of things. but I don't know half the songs that a lot of people in their sort of 80s, 90s know. They will ask me for things, and I'm like, sorry, I don't know. I may have heard, might be a Sinatra song or something, but one that I don't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. know, my sort of vote, what's the word, song list is sort of gradually growing over time, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, does it take you long to learn it?
It varies. I mean, some songs fairly quickly. I'm a bit of a perfectionist, so I like to learn them really well and have a nice arrangement on the guitar kind of thing. But maybe a month or something, or it might just be a week, you know, to sort of play it in a fairly basic way so that they recognise it and can sing along. It might just be a week or two kind of thing.
So when did you learn to play?
Guitar? I think I was 14. 14, 15. I'll say 14, yeah.
It's a really popular age to pick up a guitar, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is. I know, I mean, I've been teaching, that's another thing I do, teach guitar and ukulele.
Excuse me, he teaches the ukulele.
Oh, so, I hit the spot there.
You've hit a spot. You're going to have to teach us how to...
You can come to our staff meeting.
You've got to come to a staff meeting.
Oh, right, okay, so, okay.
So, yeah, here we go. So I'm making notes. It's not a joke, ukulele. So it's not a joke. We were exactly just before you came in the big podcast. We were talking about ukuleles that are stored on our top of the cupboard because at one point we're going to learn how to play it, but we don't know how to play it. And I can never find a G because I'm like. I'm trying to find the T on the neck.
Yeah. Well, that could happen. Oh, yeah,
that'd be super fun. Oh. And Jamie needs to do it for his gig that he's got in front.
I need to learn a certain song. I need to learn Rainbows Keep Falling on My Head.
Raindrops.
Raindrops. Yeah. You've got it wrong.
Still learning.
Yeah, I can teach you that one. I can teach you that one, yeah.
So how many chords in that?
Oh, I haven't counted them. There's quite a few in that. I'd say that's a bit more kind of intricate than some songs of that era.
Don't let it put you off, Jamie.
Sorry. I like that variation on the lyric, actually. Rainbows keep falling on my head.
It might have to be rainbows now.
You could do that.
That well-known adaptation of the Sacha Distel song.
First
it's a classic song, that. Yeah. Love that one. It's funny because some of them they're all mainly before my time, sort of thing, apart from the Beatles. I mean, that's one of my big bands, my favourite band as a kid. But a lot of the stuff from the 50s and other 60s stuff and the 40s, I didn't really know and wasn't really into it, but I learned these songs to sort of play to older people and sometimes, younger people with learning disabilities and stuff, people with dementia. I think I got to really like the songs just by playing them kind of thing.
Sure.
So it was interesting, yeah.
This has to be a staff meeting.
Absolutely.
We need to add. We need to put that in any other business. Tim Hoyt is going to come in and can teach us.
That'd be so good.
Yeah, that'd be so cool. I'd be very happy to.
Thank you.
Oh, no, that sounds fun.
Do you teach all ages? Or?
Yeah.
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 Okay. Right. Because I've got an 8-year-old who's interested in playing guitar. He picks mine up and twangs away, but he says, I don't know how to hold it. And I'm like, well, it's got a rounded back, so that's part of the problem. I need to get a proper strap for it and sort it out. But
you're talking about your guitar?
That one, yeah. It's got quite high action on it as well, so it's not quite...
Okay, yeah, not the easiest for a young person learning.
So I need to pick up a guitar, you know, more of a kid-sized one somewhere.
Has anyone got a kid-sized guitar that there's just loafing around in there
that
Kath could... That'd be grand.
Put it out there.
Thank you.
Try Dino's shop.
Oh, yes, Dino. Yeah, I did pick one up for him from there.
Near Trinity.
He's wonderful. Yeah. He's great.
He's great, yeah.
He fixes guitars.
He's really helpful.
As well,
knows a lot about them.
So yeah, I know. Yeah, my son's got one at his dad's, but he needs one here. So yeah, I'll try Dino for that again.
Or it feels a bit unfair on B&T keyboards to just say Dino because
they're
really good
available.
As well.
Yeah, they're kind of the main shop.
Same shop.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Is that our Tim Pan Alley? Do you think? Sorry, I'm saying a phrase that people are just going to go, I don't know what that even is.
I know what that is, which is pretty stunning. I don't actually know.
No!
I've heard the phrase.
Yeah, yeah.
It's in London, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's a street full of music shops.
Music shops, yeah.
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 I only know because I went out with the drummer and he was like, you've got to go there. Mm. And bought drumsticks there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Mm. Legendary. Cool. So you teach guitar and you teach ukulele. What else?
What else do I teach or what else do I do musically?
Yeah, what do you do? It's not a job interview, by the way.
No, I don't know. nothing specific. I mean, at the moment, actually, something that which I'm really enjoying is playing in a little band with a pianist and a clarinet player.
Mm. Oh, cool.
Called Rob and Elena. And they're both brilliant musicians and really nice to work with. Because I've spent a lot of my time being a solo musician, really. Mm. And I do really like that. Yeah. I just sort of... Yeah, it just feels comfortable to me. But I started getting itchy feet a bit a couple of years ago and just wanting to try collaboration more. Because I got out of the way of it, you know, as you do.
Because I've only ever seen you on your own.
Yeah, that's it. Most of the gigs I've done have been on my own. But we've done a couple of gigs this year as a three-piece band. And
what do you call yourselves?
We don't have a name at the moment, actually. I don't know how ongoing it is, so we haven't really got an identity. And like, yeah, we're a band, yeah, really. But it's great fun, and we've got a gig coming up at the Philo pub in the Old Town in the High Street on June 22nd.
Amazing, love the Philo.
Write that down, everyone. And in diaries.
Yes, down.
Get it in there.
So you'll be the band with no name?
Yeah, actually that's quite good.
It's quite good.
Or the other band. There is a band called The Other Band, isn't there, though?
I think there is.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that.
The Other Band. It's a great name.
It's not them, it's The Other Band. Yeah. Oh, I like that. That's great. So you're at the final on the 22nd.
Mm.
You said Rob and Helena.
Elena.
Elena.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, cool. I'm making notes. So, are you... I saw you brought your guitar with you.
It's hiding behind me.
Yeah. So I saw you had an album which had clouds in the title.
That's right. Yeah, clouds are full of stories.
Clouds are full of stories. What's behind that? Because it's a lovely name.
Oh, thank you. Well, actually, the story behind that title is the title track of the album. And I wrote that song when I went on a kind of clowning course, summer course for 5 days at Emerson College, which is in Forest Row. I don't know if you've heard of heard of that. I mean, I'm not like a performer or entertainer in any way like that.
What made you go to a clown?
I was just drawn to it. I don't know. I loved it. I mean, it took me a lot out of my comfort zone.
Absolutely.
Sounds like a lot of play, in a big way. Fun, you know, and
it was fun. Yeah, fun, terrifying, and fun at the same time. Yeah, sure. Such a weird juxtaposition. But really fantastic. But I wrote that song the second course I did, 2017. She wouldn't really get from the... Oh yeah, and the title itself of the song came from, because they'd give us, you know, the tutors would sort of give us these little prompts and things to do little sketches or little, whatever you call them, scenes. And a couple of the women just were doing were doing a little scene, and one of them just said, "Oh, the clouds are full of stories." And I just thought, wow, what a beautiful evocative phrase. So I borrowed it off her for that song. And the album.
No, I think it's great. Fires are full of stories. I mean, because they're full of pictures, aren't they?
Yeah, so, those two. Those
good old nature. It brings us all the best material, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. So, would you like to play something for us?
Yeah, I'd love to play a song, yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
This will be a first for us, because we've never had anyone.
No.
Okay.
This is really exciting. Yeah.
Breaking out the mould then.
Yeah.
So this song is it's an old song of mine called "Came to the City," and it's on that album actually. "Clouds Are Full of Stories." Thank you.
so, so pretty. Live life so lonely. All the kind faces soon forgot me. Headlines today. Man falls off the world, hits the grave. Pray for the lonely. Don't let the cruel world ever find me. Open up your dusty eyes. Follow me into the skies. And why?
Do I? Oh.
It is. I noticed that when I saw my son perform, and he was quite shy and quite this and quite. And as soon as he got up on stage, he was a different person. I stood there and said to my husband, I went, "Don't know this guy. Who's this guy? I don't know this guy."
That's it. Yeah.
And I saw exactly the same with you.
Yeah.
You
just side comes the, out.
It's a big side of you that. Can express so
it's
much.
It's the guitar and
Thank
the voice
you.
As well.
It's
so,
yeah,
kind
your
of, you
voice
know.
Is so powerful.
Yeah. It really reaches.
Well, I've heard
well.
You sing before,
oh.
but yeah.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
It's so powerful.
Cheers. Appreciate that.
It looks to me from the way you were playing that you may have classical training as well. Have you done classical guitar?
No, I don't actually.
Oh, right.
No, just sort of self-taught mainly, mm-hmm. but.
Props
yeah,
to that.
I'm sure I pick things up off people, other players and
yeah.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. No classical training.
No,
but I've been developing a side of my playing that's a bit more intricate,
that's
a bit like reminiscent of that
mm-hmm.
in the last few years.
Nice.
So, you can hear it.
Yes, definitely.
Lovely. Wow. So the story behind that song?
I'm not sure there isn't much of a story, I'm afraid.
Well, it's funny because...
Some of them just come out of nowhere. It is, you know, I'm singing about being in a city and being a bit miserable, lonely, I suppose, but trying to be a bit funny about it. I suppose I've never lived in a city, and I sort of wonder to myself, what would it be like, you know? So I find it quite exciting going to places like London for the day or for a couple of days.
Yes.
But I can't really imagine... being a city person, you know, living in a city, really.
It's hard work.
So I think that song is maybe me kind of saying, yeah, I'm not a city person, but they're exciting places.
Yeah, I love the way you say the dust about it being dusty in your lyric, because it's like, you do feel like that when you get on the train, coming back from... Yeah. Anyone who does this journey, you get on the train at Charing Cross, and as soon as you start pulling out and you can feel the grinding of the wheels, it starts to pick up some motion, you think, oh, I'm going home.
Yeah,
I'm going home.
Oh, thank God.
Well, it's like coming down the A21, when you get to a certain bit on the A21 and you feel, oh, the air is starting to change. It's starting to change, yeah. I love city life, but I don't think I could ever do it anymore.
But yeah, no. I thought I was addicted to London until I moved here.
Yeah, now you're addicted to here.
Addicted to here, yeah.
Does it depend partly what part you live in as well? Like if you're
in
a more chilled out place,
or yeah.
you've got a big park near you, like Hampstead.
Yeah, I think it does depend.
Better than some parts.
And it does feel quite villagey in the end when you're there long enough that you do just end up just ping ponging around the same area rather than traversing it all the time and it taking an hour to get anywhere. Yeah, I definitely noticed that I was becoming more. Yeah, kind of just in my little microcosm of South East London at the end, really. So,
more community-like in that way, I suppose, if you're just doing things more locally.
You know? Yeah, and you get to know all the cafe owners and, it becomes your manor.
And then, isn't it strange that that's exactly what happens when you get here?
That's true, yeah, you do, yeah. And then, those are all coming down.
The whole thing, the whole thing becomes a manor.
That's true.
And it's like, no, this is where and I know all the cafe owners, and they all know. And you pull in and you go, usual.
Yeah, I was walking past, what's the one that you go to, the one with opposite Benbow Arts again? It's
Casa. Oh, you're talking about, Issa, the breakfast zone.
Yeah, so I walked past there yesterday and I was just smiling at myself, to myself, about the fact that you know them. But it was just like,
you only have to go once and you'll make a friend of you. Yeah, they're lovely in there.
Yeah, which one's that then?
So the breakfast zone is opposite the post office.
Kind of like
London Road.
London Road. So, along that stretch. So, yeah. He's lovely. Yeah. They're all lovely in there. We saw Ray Ganji in there having his chips the other day.
Oh, did he?
To Ganji. Sorry, to Ganji is to take a stroll. Now it's a man's name, but it's now become
an idiom.
And
is that the right word?
Well, yeah, to Ganji. What is that? It's a verb.
A verb.
It's become a verb now. Oh, so we made it up.
So
Ganji is where you just wander down the end of your road and then maybe you get to the end of another road and maybe you get to the seaside and maybe but all the time you're sort of chatting with local people.
Bumping into folk.
Yeah. And, so Ganji. Okay. You heard it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it says on your website it says my songs explore themes of childhood memory, journeys through inner landscapes. The search for connection with the world and a deeper sense of self. Sounds very cathartic.
I just made that up just to sound good.
It's very impressive. but it works though, doesn't it?
No, it's hopefully aiming at the truth, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, is it a cathartic process, do you think?
Yeah, I suppose it is.
Because you're two guys. You're this guy.
Yeah, I know.
Who's, you know, like, I'm talking about myself, but as soon as you pick up a guitar, you become the guy who can say.
I'm much
everything.
More expressive when I'm singing and playing music. Well, you know, in a different way. Cathartic. I mean, it's a pretty amazing process, but it's sort of, it's like being in an altered state, really. You know, it's sort of, and. Connecting to different parts of myself that I don't perhaps usually connect with in everyday life, and you know, without doing music, it's like meditation, I suppose, for me.
Yeah, totally. Is this what made you pick up the guitar at 14? Because
I can't remember. It wasn't really that because I didn't know that state existed.
No.
You know what I mean? And I loved, you know, rock bands like Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath and Dire Straits. Stuff. So I think I just was excited. It's such a rock and roll instrument, you know. And it was like, all the girls will like me if I play guitar.
Were those the first things? Was it Smoke on the Water was one of your first things you learned, or not? Or was it
the song that's banned from all the music shops?
I don't remember playing that one, actually. Yeah. I don't remember playing
banned,
that one.
It's
Stairway to Heaven, probably.
Yeah. So oh, yeah.
Cream, the band that Eric Clapton was in the 60s, learned a few of those. I actually played in bands more when I was like in the first sort of 3 years that I played actually than since then. I kind of got together with a friend of mine who played guitar and bass fairly after about, it felt like less than a year, but no, time's a bit weird when you go back so far in your memory, isn't it?
Sure, yeah.
So we sort of played together, and then, you know, we got a little band together with a drummer and another guitar player and did a gig, and that band had a few different lineups, and we did a few gigs.
Yeah.
This was up in Shropshire before I moved down to Hastings. It was more sort of alternative rock sort of stuff, grungy rock.
Grungy rock.
Yeah,
did you just like say grungy?
Grungy, yeah.
I love grungy.
Nirvana and Sonic Youth.
Yes,
Rex looks nodding away.
It's his best. Okay, yeah, I loved all that stuff back then, yeah. I still do,
Do you have a favourite guitarist of all time? Because there's so many amazing guitarists. You always have to ask that question.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean,
you mentioned Eric Clapton and Cream, I thought that might be why.
Yeah, I don't think he's one of my favourites. I mean, he's certainly really good. Jimi Hendrix, maybe.
I love him.
He's amazing.
Well, he famously played the right-hand guitar upside down backwards because he's left-handed.
Yeah.
You can't. That's amazing, right?
Mostly with eyes shut as well.
I think Johnny Marr, who played in the Smiths, was an amazing guitarist as well, but not a showy guitarist. But it's just I like guitarists that are really creative rather than fast sort of thing. Which has changed a bit since I was 16, because it was all about how fast they were, partly back then. So it's been a funny journey in a way, going from playing in bands more and then becoming more of a solo player. And then I went through phases where I played with other people more.
Mm.
And then the last sort of 15 years have been largely solo, actually. But I've done one or two really nice collaborations as well. With Ed Boxall, which was one
of
the artist and musician. We did a lovely couple of gigs, if you can call them that, about 8 years ago now. Which seems amazing, it's that long ago. Haley Moore. As she was then, Hayley Savage, who's an excellent alt folk, indie folk singer songwriter who's at Hastings. So, I've dipped into collaborations, but largely solo.
Nice.
So, who, you know, Jamie asked the best question, really, isn't it? Who's your favourite guitarist? So, who inspired you? You said about the Beatles. Anyone else inspire you?
Music-wise, bands.
Or individuals?
Probably loads, but Nick Drake.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff from the late 60s into the 70s, John Martin, Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah.
Sufjan Stevens, who's an American singer-songwriter. But it was weird because I kind of felt like I sounded quite similar to him, even when the first time I heard him, I was like, oh, he's quite similar to me. Maybe he's heard me.
Yeah. He's playing, I think, in Brighton or Hove at the Old Market.
This weekend
or
such a good
next
venue.
Weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll find the details and send you it. But
thanks.
It's either the weekend or the week.
It's at some point.
I haven't really kept up with his music so much in the last sort of 10 years. So.
I think it's a retrospective of is it Carrie Ann Lowell or how does it?
Okay.
Yeah. I can't remember what the title of the...
Carrie Ann Lowell,
is Carrie Ann Lowell,
I
think so. So, yeah, anyway, I'll send you a link to that.
Interesting.
Nice.
I'm quite influenced by gypsy music as well.
I love gypsy music.
Klezmer, Jewish music.
Yeah. It's joyful, isn't it?
Yeah, and stuff like
intricate
French
clever.
Folk music. Yeah. So quite a lot of, you know, world music, folk music from different parts of Europe mainly, and that seems to find its way into some of my music, Eastern music, Indian music.
Oh gosh, yeah.
But lots of different influences, really. Mm.
Back to the songwriting, I was wondering about, do you start with a word or a phrase, or is it more a riff, or does it depend on the day?
Like... Yeah, it depends on the day, really. Mm. But for the process used to be kind of the same each time for a long, long, long time, up until a year or two ago. And that process, that way of doing it, was messing about on the guitar, playing some chords, riffs, and then just sort of like humming along with it and oohing and ahhing and just singing some nonsense, literally nonsense
building
lyrics.
Around it, yeah.
And then like a phrase would come out and be like, oh yeah, I like that phrase. And then it would sort of build around that lyrically, but start with the guitar. Nice. But more recently I've been just experimenting with other ways of doing it, like just sort of singing a song with no guitar or instrument.
Great.
And either leaving it like that as an a cappella song or adding some like keyboard or guitar afterwards kind of thing. And yeah, it's really interesting because they sound so different. Those songs sound so different to the guitar-led ones, you know.
They're different flavours and different different ingredients, I guess.
That's it. Mm. So there is I'm trying to just explore different ways of writing songs nowadays, rather than getting into a groove and just doing the same thing.
You don't want to become formulaic, do you? You want to
switch
it up, especially with all the interests that you have, as you say, you know, all the the world is a massive platter, isn't it? And taking from that, we don't want to go backwards and become static.
No.
Moving on.
Well, I had a long dry patch, which I was doing music in different ways, really, but not writing songs for about 12 years or so, apart from the one I mentioned that I did, wrote on the clowning course. But apart from that, it was a very dry patch, and I didn't really know why. I still don't know, but I think it's sort of these things come and go, and you can't really force them.
Yeah.
But I remember at some point just thinking everything that I came out with just sounded like something else I'd done before. So I just sort of allowed it to fizzle out, I suppose, which was sad at the time, but
I
think you just have to do that.
Did it freak you out that that was happening? Or was
it did a bit, for a while. But I think I just learned to go with it, and I thought, well, I saw it as an opportunity to try other things.
Yeah.
It's musically, probably what he was telling you to do.
I think so. That's probably true. Yeah. And even like clowning, I mean, it's not something that I haven't done that for years, but just exploring a completely different creative medium that's not music at all, that was like incredibly sort of enriching and sort of nourishing to do that, you know, and probably helped me find my way back to writing songs as well.
Definitely, because when you go away from your own comfort zone and going to something like clowning, because clowning, let's be honest, is terrifying.
Yeah, you've done it yourself. Then.
No, but I was a laughter yoga leader, so part of that was very much about people would say, well, you're just clowning around. I said, well, it didn't start like that. I ended up doing that and adding that in, and actually clowning itself is a sense of expression that we can all do. Mm. And I end up doing it an awful lot.
But it's innate, isn't it, I think?
It is, but it's also, you're going into unknown territory because clowning is very spontaneous. You don't think about what you're doing when you're clowning.
Exactly.
It runs, it's like a stream of consciousness that just comes out and you allow it to come out. So when you had that dry spell, if we get upset about something in that way, because you said beautifully, didn't you? Did it freak you out? Because I work with people who get dry spells in writing, and when they get that dry spell, it's like, oh, I'm useless, I can't. You say, no, go with it. Go with the process of being in it and experience it and see what it's going to bring you, because it's going to bring you something. It's just pushing energy out of you.
Exactly.
In a funnel.
It's telling you need to try something
new
or just get some more life experiences.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Do something different, because we can get very rutty.
Yeah.
We get down in a channel, and it's like, here we go. And the more we stay in the channel, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper, and there's less sunlight.
I know. It's tempting, isn't it? Because you get really good at something. You know, and sort of... And you just think, well, I'll just carry on doing that then, in the same way, because it's what I know.
Yeah,
eventually it sort of runs out of steam unless you do something, inject something new into it, or do something totally
That's right. Yeah. But when performers stay in a rut, the fans love it, because they get more of the same. They expect that to come out. And yet when a performer, when they decide, oh, I'm going to write new stuff, because I'm at a different stage of my life, and I'm a parent, or I'm a this, you know, that happened with Metallica particularly, didn't it? People got very upset that Metallica had gone down a different road. They said, well, we're older men. We've been families, you know, we've done things, we've cut to a different stage in our life. And their music changed.
And the music has to reflect that, doesn't it?
It has to reflect that.
Where you're at that time.
Absolutely, because otherwise you stay in a rut, and you know, the fans won't like it. But the people who actually understand that the transition is required.
Yeah, they'll come with you.
Yeah, they will come with the journey. Mm. Absolutely. So, do you fancy playing us something else?
I'd love to.
You said you had another one.
Yeah, I've got another one. This is another old one. I'm going through a phase at the moment where I'm reviving some old songs that I haven't played so much. Because I haven't really written anything new this year. But, you know, as we're saying, it's good to not push it, you know. So I'm just sort of, but I'm actually really enjoying just going through my older songs and sort of trying them on again and
reacquainting. I like that, trying them on, because it's like
really nice, isn't it?
Ooh, I like this jacket.
Does this still fit?
This still fits. I still look good in there.
Yeah.
Could I pull this off?
Painter decorator, yes. Yes.
Can I pull this off?
Subtitle.
So this song is called Narnia, which as you probably remember is from C.S. Lewis's children's book series, and I suppose it was, I was thinking about remembering when my dad particularly used to read those stories to me as a kid, and how they stayed with me and sort of informed. Well, just the whole storytelling process, really. This is such an amazing process and gift to give a child, I think. And it sort of helped to inform my creativity. As my parents did in various ways. But yeah, the storytelling, kind of the bedtime story, I suppose, which
was the most valuable part of a day.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is Narnia. Wake up, baby, now it's alright. It's only a bad dream that you had in the night. Oh, and I will help you see it through. Sit right back and I'll read to you from Lakes of Narnia and Tolkien too. But I'll still reach you. And oh, I could wait here all night for you. I wanted to send a gift to you, celebrate your brand new room. Oh, and it took a while to get to you. In fact, you wasted
Imagination is a fickle fair. One day it smothers you, and the next it is dead. Oh, it makes a hole in the heart of you. And oh, you're feeling the wind that blows through you. Where you're coming from, remember none of us will be here for long. Oh, cause life takes it all away from us. So lay you down and I'll sing to you from oceans of brightness and the skies of blue. Oh, drifting away, but I'll still reach you. Oh, why nothing can take me away from you.
Emotional, actually.
Yeah, gosh, I'm a bit stumped, really. It just took me to my kids and
bedtime
yeah. and right. how valuable that was.
Yeah. Oh.
Really?
Oh,
wow.
Mm. And the distance and then the closeness again of the drifting is, oh, yeah. You got me as well.
Oh, thank you.
Really beautiful. How long ago did you write that one?
20 years ago, I think.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Which doesn't feel that long, but
no.
It is, which is scary.
It's weird, isn't it?
No, good. It encapsulates a lovely memory for you, it sounds like.
Yeah. It reminds me of my mum and dad, who aren't with me anymore as well. Mm. So, actually, just to add something to when you asked earlier about influences, they influenced me a lot because they were both musicians. My dad was trained as an orchestral conductor and percussion player. Neither of them did their music particularly professionally, you know, once they settled down with the family and stuff. Mm. And my mum was a brilliant pianist and singer. And composer. She didn't compose like hundreds of things, but so she did some composing, and so it was just, yeah, I owe them a lot, really, because they provided this environment that was very nurturing to creativity, particularly, and you know, it wasn't perfect like any family, but they were sort of encouraging somehow. Yeah.
Was there music in the house then?
Quite a lot of classical, I'd say, and you know, Radio 3 was on a lot.
It was constant.
Yeah. I didn't really get much classical music when I was a kid, but we had quite a few Beatles albums, so that's mainly what I remember.
Which is not that far away from classical, to be fair.
No, exactly. It's quite sophisticated music, isn't it?
Yeah, terribly.
George Martin sort of adding classical stuff to it. But I suppose, yeah, kids just absorb things in the atmosphere of the home they're living in, don't they? Even if the parents aren't sort of saying, oh, are you going to practice today? Well, actually, that's not that helpful to do, probably. but not encouraging in direct ways, you know. Yeah. I was probably more into art, actually, as a kid. Mm. So I've had that strand in my life as well. I like doing just, like, you know, being spontaneous with drawing and just, like, scribbling around in my journal.
Yes.
So,
did you have brothers and sisters?
I've got one brother, yeah. And actually, his name's Jerry. He's 4 years older than me. He taught me my first guitar course.
Wow.
And sort of gave him the first sort of lesson or two. He might have given me a few lessons. I can't really remember.
Yeah, that's really sweet. Does he still play now?
From time to time, but not that regularly. Mm-hmm. As far as I know.
Mm. Yeah.
But yeah. So I owe him a lot.
So did Mum teach you piano?
She tried to. I think she gave me, you know, occasionally she'd sort of encourage me to have a lesson, you know, have a lesson with her. And I remember learning a bit. I didn't really go very far with it when I was younger, but I always messed about on the piano. I love just having it there, and I'd mess about and improvise and stuff. So yeah, actually that was a big thing, you know. I didn't even think about that really at the time, but just being able to
pick things up
around on the piano.
Yeah.
Make friends with the instrument itself rather than it become one of those things that just sits, just furniture.
Yeah, exactly.
Scary furniture.
Scary furniture.
Polished and left. Yeah.
A very intimidating looking sofa over there.
My grandmother had a grand piano and nobody played.
Oh.
And I used to find that really weird, you know, because as a child, I loved Chopin. So which is, sounds a little, why? Because my mother used to play a lot of classical music.
My mum used to play Chopin. Yeah, so close to my heart.
Yeah,
Chopin,
exactly. And she put, when she got the iron out, Chopin used to come on. Or she would play, it was legendary, all the music she used to play. Mm. Most of it classical when we were very small. And then other things would come in, jazz would come in, and blues and other things. But that was much later. But it was very much, we were really influenced by classical music as children. Mm. So it wasn't Radio 3 really. It was very much my mum's putting the vinyl on all the time. And so you taught yourself to play. Of course you did.
Yeah, I mean, a guy called Chris that I played in this band, these bands that I was in, that I mentioned earlier, I think he probably showed me stuff as well. Yeah. I guess it wasn't like a formal lessons, but he knew stuff that I didn't know. And so I guess I was learning quite a lot
kind of
from people
that I
played with. And yeah, we did a lot of jamming like when I was younger, and which was amazing. I sort of got out of the way of improvising or jamming for years and years, over the last, I don't know, 20 odd years, I suppose. I mean, I would do a bit at home, you know, when I'd be writing a song. Songs always come out of just jamming, really, don't they, I guess. But I've got more into improvising in the last year or two, particularly with a friend of mine who's a really good musician called Phil. He's a really good improviser, so we just have these nice sessions where we just make stuff up and change to different instruments.
That's lovely. Yeah,
we did one of those on Monday. So that's another thing actually. I forgot to mention when you asked me what I'm doing.
Yeah, you're jamming with Phil.
I'm jamming with Phil. But in a way, the word jamming, it almost sounds a bit kind of dismissive, doesn't it?
No, jam's the best.
Yeah, not that you said it dismissively, but I think I've thought of it as, just having a jam, whatever, it's a bit, you know.
It's not just
It's not real music, you know, but it's actually where all the best stuff
happens. Well, it's untethered, isn't it? And,
yeah.
And you're trusting, you're just playing
in
with
conversation.
Other people. Yeah, exactly that. That's nice.
And it's such it's a real skill.
Yeah.
You know, I never really forgot how to do it, but I lost some confidence about improvising with other people. And it was a bit boring doing it on my own, I suppose. But the more I do it, the more natural it comes, you know.
I get like that with speaking French, so if I haven't worked for a while and I can kind of, you know, I can understand what's going on, but I'm scared of jumping in. It's the speaking bit, isn't it? Kind of a similar.
Yeah, you've got to keep doing things, haven't you? Just sort of to keep that confidence up that you can do it.
Yeah.
So we're kind of rounding up now, so...
Yeah. Oh, before I stop, before I finish, can I mention a gig that I'm doing at Mike Willis's shop?
Yes.
That's the next bit.
So what comes next, really?
Yeah.
So you did mention that you've got the Philo coming up with Rob and Elena, so...
Yeah, and also at that gig, there's a band called Danny Goring and the House Culls.
Yeah.
Have you heard of them?
Yes.
Yeah. So Danny's a mate of mine. He's a really good singer-songwriter who writes folk rock kind of stuff. I've not actually heard this current band very much. I've heard like a couple of songs recorded, but they're doing a set as well.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Oh, that's nice. So that'll be at the Philo.
Yeah.
So the what's next is, so you've got Mike.
Yeah, so that's the next gig, which is on the 6th of June at his shop, which is in Norman Road.
It is.
And
where is it? Because I don't actually know where Mike's shop is.
It's at the top end of Norman Road.
Jensing Road, that's off of Norman Road.
Oh, yeah.
Dead opposite it.
Opposite there, okay, cool.
It's got the really pretty shop front.
Ramshack, it was going to be called. I don't know if he's ramshackle.
He hasn't called it anything, has he?
Okay.
He's got someone to paint lovely flowers on it and never put a name up because he didn't change his mind to turn it to
a... But almost makes it more interesting in a way. Not the place with no name.
Yeah.
But it's a lovely space.
That's why we laugh.
Because
it's Mike's. Yeah. Everyone knows it as Mike's, but it's not obvious where Mike's is. It's a thing, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you know, you know.
Yeah, okay.
It keeps it on the down low. But
it's a lovely venue, and it'll be a totally unplugged gig, which I don't think I've ever done a whole gig before with no amplification.
Yeah.
Because it's such an sort of intimate space, it holds up to 30, I think. Mm. If anyone wants to buy tickets for that, they're on Mike's site, which I believe is called Mike's List.
Yeah, Mike's
is
that List. Right? Yeah, we'll put all the links up to
lovely.
That. Yeah, we will directly link.
We've sold some tickets for it, but there are some left.
Yeah.
So it's the 6th, what day is that?
That's a Friday.
Friday.
So I think it's like
be a thing.
A thing, a regular thing.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying.
Marking in a diary.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah.
We're putting a note in. It's whose?
Your birthday.
No, 6th of June.
Oh, sorry. Well, it's
not
still
Friday.
Be your
yeah.
Oh, no, I get a hint.
I get 2 months. Come along.
Why not?
No, I can't. I can only have 1 month. So the 6th of the 6th. So nice one.
Yeah. And then in July I'm playing at the Beacon, which you probably know of, on West Hill.
Beautiful, yeah.
A lovely venue. That's with two other acts. One is called Jury Service, that are a duo with Keith Rodway and Simon Charterton.
Simon, he's come back. So Simon was earlier with... what are they called?
Simon and the Pope.
Simon and the Pope, well done, yes.
They're great, aren't they?
They're on Saturday. They're great. If you check them out, it's hilarious.
Really good band.
Yeah. He's a drummer.
Yeah,
He's a drummer.
So I don't know if that's what he's doing in Jury Service with Keith, or if they're both doing like electronica.
Yeah.
So, but it's basically improvised.
Could be either, couldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to hearing them. And then there's a guy called Anthony Moore playing.
Anthony Moore. So Anthony Moore is also at the Sunshine gig.
Oh, is he?
He's on the... I did say it. Where is it? It's on my Sunshine on Sea. I didn't put the date up. I have said the date. Yes, he's at the Sunshine on Sea Festival. Anthony and Richard are together.
Is it his brother?
His brother.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Anthony and Richard Moore.
Try
so, that'll be
24th and 25th.
Thank you for that. Well done. Thanks. Well remembered. It's in my notes, which I can't be bothered to look at. You swore in that moment. So that's lovely. And so you've got a lot coming up, haven't you?
A few, yeah. It's busy. It's the busiest year for gigs that I've had for some years. And then I'll just mention another one, which is not till September. A guy called Tom Cole is a very good sort of singer-songwriter, folk, finger-picker musician. He does one Sunday a month folk kind of evening at the Brickmakers Ale House.
Which is in Bexhill.
Which is a nice little bar.
It is.
And he always plays there, does a couple of sets, and he has a guest too. So I'm playing at that one, which is about 28th of September, I think. The last Sunday in September.
Okay. So we will find all of these, because they should be somewhere. Yeah, so when is the Beacon?
July. Yeah, that's the 17th of July, which I think is a Thursday.
Oh, nice.
So I'm looking forward to that one. That's another really quirky, lovely venue.
Oh, the venue's great, isn't it? Yeah.
I always feel a bit like I'm in the countryside there, because it's really off the beaten track.
Yeah, the dirt track down, that makes it. It's a great place.
It's a great place. You've been an absolute star today.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
I was a bit nervous about it because I've only done one interview before. And that was good, but I'm just not used to it, you know. No, but it's just been so relaxed. So they've been wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, you're just sitting in Caff's front room, really.
It's exactly what I'm doing.
That's the whole point.
Thank you for bringing live music to my family.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
It's a lovely vibration.
It's been a real pleasure. Yeah.
So we will cheers you now, and good luck with the future. And
thank you.
Be at one of these gigs, at least one.
Definitely.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you guys.
Lovely Tim Voigt. Yay!
Thank you.